Before I begin, I want to introduce some of my colleagues from the Department of Agriculture, Cooperative State Research, Education, and Extension Service. Kim Whitett, if you'd stand up, is one of our program specialists, and while I'm introducing you to these people, you might, after the presentations, if you ask some questions for them, I'm sure they will be eager to answer your questions also. Kimberly works a lot in communication. She's one of our specialists in our website, so she is a very good person to talk about communications. Deborah Shealy is the National Research Initiative Director for Integrated Programs, and I'd like to thank Kim and Debbie for information on this presentation. And Mark Poth is our Director of Research in the NRI, and he also is joining us today. So you have an opportunity if you want to talk. Instead of coming to Washington, Washington has come to you in a sense, so it's a good opportunity to talk to these folks. The Cooperative State, how many of you all know about CSRES? How many of you all been funded through CSRES? Oh, very good. Okay, so Carl talked about NSF, and CSRES out of USDA primarily does, well, our major mission is to manage and support funding through formula funds that go directly to the universities and through competitive programs. And I'm with the Competitive Programs Division, as the folks I've just introduced, with the National Research Initiative Program. So I wanted to come at communications today from both how we communicate for you in your research, education, and extension activities, and also talk a little bit how you can communicate directly on the activities that you do. There's many types and ways to communicate. Primarily what we do now is through written communication. We're trained when we're in graduate school to learn how to write, but there's and that's primarily what I'm going to talk about is written communication. But I want to emphasize that there's many ways to communicate. Carl's talked about going and meeting people face-to-face. That's the type of verbal communication. There's electronic communication, which we're getting more into. If any of you sent in a proposal last year to the NRI, you will know now that we have gone electronic. So the communications now are just not in the written form, but it's also learning how to electronically communicate. These are some of the different journal articles that we monitor to see what kind of reports have been sent out from the programs that we fund. More specifically, I'd like to talk about, first of all, the type of communication that our agency does and how we communicate about the results and functions from the projects that we fund. This is our new format. Prior to this, we had several different types. You'll see what we call weeklies. We get a request to send in announcements of any activities that are going on by the program directors that we have funded, and so then we respond. There's a field day, there's been a published report and a journal report, they've had a project directors meeting, they present at Tri-Society, so we send this information, it goes up through the secretary's office, and who knows where it'll end up, but it's just bits and pieces, just highlights of what's going on by those that we funded. We pick up news articles that have been written to the general public that we look, university has announced, and sometimes they'll send us information about news articles, what a researcher has been doing. And so we pick those up and then re-communicate that out. We also, and this goes kind of to what Carl was talking about, we'll get requests from congressional staff to answer a question or tell us about what's going on in soil science, what's going on in plant or animal science, and then we send information about projects we funded or results from projects. This comes sporadically. We never know what they're going to be asking about, so we have to be functioning on all the different types of sciences and disciplines and extension and education reports that we are privy to. And this is very good, and it complements what goes on with Carl's activities, because this is an education of the people up on the Hill to find out, well, where is the money going? What are we spending our money for? What's happening with that money? What are the results? And so it's a different type of educational process, but very important. More technically, we have the NRI annual report, and this, all the project directors submit what we think are some of the highlight programs that we have funded, and we'll select one or two projects and send in a more extensive report on what's been going on in that project. We also have the NRI highlights, which if we hear from one of our project directors that, oh, we have this great breakthrough, we've just found the cure to all known plant diseases. I'm being exaggerating, of course, but then we will take that and make a highlight into it and summarize what you've been doing, and then that goes out through public communications. Cover stories is very similar to highlights, again, just reporting on current results of projects. And then if you are a funded researcher, extension agent, or educator, we now require to have project directors meetings. And sometimes we had, last year, the Managed Ecosystem and the Soils Program had their PD meeting here at the Tri-Sys, or at the Tri-Society meeting. And so that's another type of communication, telling your peers through a more formal process of what reporting out of what you've been doing. So these are some of the more traditional methods that we now have. The ones that I've talked about, the highlights and reports, the weeklies, all had different formats, and now we've gone to this general format, and so we'll use this to report all those different types of, use that as a mechanism to report all the different types of information that were requested. So that's kind of the forms or the types of information that we send out on your behalf. Do you all know that we do all this for you? You as a researcher, extension, or education person obviously have more direct ways of reporting. Traditional journal articles, reporting, doing presentations at professional society meetings, annual reports to your funding agencies through the CRIS system. You're required to send that in. We are reformatting, or that's going on some transition. The reason for that is because before it was very straightforward, this is how I'm doing it, and this is kind of the result. We want more meat and potatoes. We want to really know what's the impact. What are you doing? It's not just how you're doing it, but what's the value of what you're doing. Traditionally, extension bulletins have translated research information into more applied or useful information to the farmer rancher, county newsletter. And I put proposal applications because that is, in a way, a communication device to tell what you want to do. And it's very important to learn how to write good proposals. And I'll put a little plug in. This tomorrow afternoon, we are having an integrated workshop, grants workshop, so you're all invited to attend that. And I think it's at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. But proposal writing application communicates to the reviewers and to your peers that come in to review what you're going to do. And that's, if you can't communicate at that level, you frankly are going to be limited in your ability to fund. So that's another type of communication I just wanted to throw in. It's not just going out to your peers in journal articles, it's not to the public, but it's also internally through a funding mechanism. So how do we do this? How do we communicate more effectively? Can anybody read that top line? Nobody? I just went through all the different formats of typing on the word on my computer, and I came up with this. This is a type of language. Like Merlick or something, and it says translational writing. But you don't know that because you don't understand that language, do you? You don't understand that format. And a lot of times when we're communicating to another discipline, from research to extension, to the public more specifically, to your congressional representatives, what they read is this top. Why do they read that? And they have no idea what you're talking about, but it is a real language. You're speaking language to them. The reason they can't understand is because they're not trained in that language. They're not trained in your discipline. They don't understand the terms that you're using. Example, which surprised me, we had a project directors meeting for our small farms program last year in D.C., and we had a farmer at that meeting who was also a researcher, and I was talking about carbon sequestration. The person looked at me and said, Well, I know carbon. What about sequestration? Here's a person we're doing research for, and they're doing on-farm research with a university researcher. They didn't know the technical term. They knew nutrient cycling. They knew carbon cycling, but they weren't quite sure about carbon sequestration. So you have to use the right terms when you talk to a specific audience. So you pick the terms that that audience will use. So I'm calling it translational writing, translational communication. So why is that important? Particularly when we're talking to the general public, you must understand that most of them are not agriculturalists. They probably don't have a science background or very basic from maybe junior high or high school. So you have to do it at a level that connects with them, that makes them understand what you're doing is important. And that's the real value in all of this, is you know it's important. Do any of you think the work that you do is not important? Of course not. What you need to do is make sure the audience that you're communicating with also agrees with you and evaluates what you're doing. So in that context, some examples, genomics to germs. Many people that work in the biotech, bioengineering world, there's a lot of jargon, scientific terminology that we use. And I read one report where somebody was writing, somebody in my community was reading about it, and they're saying, this person's transcripting germs? Because they didn't understand genomics. To them, they weren't sure what the term genomics was, and they, when they were reading the article, they thought they were talking about doing something to germs, making germs different, and that wasn't at all what they were talking about. So the article made no sense, did not impact that person. They did not see the value. Carbon what? I already told you the story about carbon sequestration. We have to, when you do have results, you need to communicate why it's important to the person you're talking about. Another example, Agriculture Research Service invented DEET. Do you all know, anybody use DEET? Yes, it's important to you, isn't it? But if they went through the methodology and the chemistry and everything, the formulation of DEET, that wouldn't make any difference to you. But it would make difference when they say, this is going to kill the bug that's bothering you. You go, yes, I can use it. I understand that science is important. So again, translating into something they accept. So these are the questions when you're writing that you need to ask and answer in your translational writing. So what? What am I doing that makes importance? What am I doing it? Why am I doing it? Why does it matter? What will it achieve? Not just from a scientific perspective, from an applications perspective. How will it affect the lives of the public? Because the public does fund us and supports our research. What are measurable outcomes? Can I use the product? Will it affect the water quality? Will it affect the health of my community? How will it benefit me, the general public? And these are very basic questions, but this is how you have to frame your mind when you write. Many times when I ask for a highlight or an outcome from a project, the type of articles we were talking about earlier, a weekly or a news article, I will write to the project director saying, send me a summary of your information. Send me a summary of what's currently happening, current results. They send me back a mini scientific review, kind of like you would do a summary to a journal article. And I'll write back to them and I'll say, okay, what was the benefit to the community? How many cows were saved in this? How much rangeland was preserved? How much of the forest did not catch on fire because of appropriate fire management? What was the effect on the public? And it's very difficult. These are seasoned researchers and they can't translate to a language that tells the public how it's benefit. Now, this sounds very simplistic what I'm telling you, but it's extremely difficult. So I want you to realize when you start writing to the more general public and you're answering these questions and you go, I just can't get down to that level. I guess I want to say you really can and you really need to, because you're the ones, whether you're going to the congressional office or you're writing to us and then we publish information for you, or you're writing just an article in the local county newspaper, it has to be translated to something that's beneficial. And it's very difficult. It's much easier to write in our scientific jargon. We don't want to assume that the people know what you're talking about. You must ignore method. You must ignore hypotheses. You must ignore basically objectives. You want to give a brief background of what you're doing in general terms. You want to reinforce the impacts that you're going to have, the results impacts from your research or extension or educational activities. And again, ignore methods. This came from another program specialist who also works in communication, and she's the one that translates reports that come to us. And that's what she needs, is background and impacts. Another type of communication, now this is what I talked about before, is communicating to the public or to us to translate. Communicating to us, from a funding perspective, we need to know what is not just the results, we need to know what is the value of your work. How can we value your work? What problems have you solved? And particularly, NRI has been known for basic research, but we are now through our integrated programs looking at extension and educational activities, and that work is translational in the sense that it has to have immediate impact, or it should have more and more immediate impact. The genomics work, if you're doing in more basic research, you need to describe what you're doing in the potential of future impact. So you always need to think, what's the impact? And more, this is important in proposal writing, because this is what we're asking you in your proposals. We will fund you if you can convince your peers in the review process that you will have an impact from the research that you're doing. A reality check. What are potential applications and on-ground impacts? Again, always impacts. Are the results usable? If they're usable, particularly in integrated programs, this is what we're looking for, or the SBIR, Small Business Innovative Research Grants. Potential impacts of basic research should be looked after. A tool for this, and this year in our request for applications, we ask in our integrated programs, a logic model. How many of you all have done a logic model? How many of you all don't want to do a logic model? Okay. We actually have, in our programs, done logic models on all of our programs. So we don't just say, go do what we tell you to do. We also do it ourselves. And the logic model is a very good way, because at the end of that is, what are your outcomes, outputs, impacts? So in doing the logic model now through the formal proposal application process, this is a tool. And here are two resources on our website to help you with that. Final tips, quality in, quality out. I used to work with compost, so this was another way of saying what I used to say. But the value of what you send to us is the value of what we send out on your behalf through our communications division is only as good as the quality that you send in. So please sit down and think and take a little bit more time to answer those questions that I had earlier so that we can communicate on your behalf to a public that really does want to support you. Always acknowledge any agency that has funded you, because that is how we report to Congress that we are spending funds from them, which originally came from you, on your behalf. And continuously inform, and I say this a little bit heavily because then we get the reports, but in truth, always let us know what's going on, from the little bit of thing that you do to the most spectacular results or activities. Always continuously let us know. Don't just remind annual reports. We always want to know what you're doing so we can report them for you. So good writing, good communication. Here's some contact information. And Kim, you'll see that you're up there too. So as to the two program specialists that work in communication. And then check our website. We have a full communication staff that answer a lot of questions on how to communicate and what format and tips on presenting. So I thank you, and answer questions later.